Good morning. Great morning to be here. I came here today to see Jesus, and I've seen him in you. And that's good. It's good to be here together and see Jesus in each other. I've also come because the scripture, God has a word for us. And as Paul told his traveling companion and mentee, adopted son, Timothy, that the scriptures fully equip us for life. The scriptures fully equip us for life. So we're in a series in the scriptures because we want to be fully equipped for life, and nothing like James is about equipping us for life. And so we're in the series called The Lifestyle of the Saved. Because James, as we've talked about, is writing to people who are saved. They know Jesus. They've come to follow Jesus. They've been persecuted, and they've been kicked out of Jerusalem, so they're spread out all over the place. But they want to know what it is to be a follower of Jesus. So James is going to tell them. He's that kind of little brother. You know, he's Jesus' little brother. And so he's telling the message of Jesus right now through this book of James. And so today we're going to talk about verses. We're still in chapter 1. We might be there for a couple months. Thanks, Kevin. We're going to talk about what it is to overcome temptations. And, you know, my dad has a bajillion sayings. And they all have a certain context. Well, one of his sayings is there are two things in life he can't stand: pain and temptation. And so I've grown up with these things, pain and temptation. Man, he has about this much of a pain tolerance. And luckily, he's been saved by Jesus, so he has a little bit better tolerance of temptation. Because you know what? We're all going to be tempted. And so we're going to get into this study right now. If you've got a Bible, that's a great thing to do. Open it if you've got it on your phone. We're in James chapter 1, and I'm going to begin by reading a couple of the verses we're going to cover today, and we'll get to reading the others in a minute. So we're going to read James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each of you is tempted when you are dragged away by your own evil desires and enticed. And then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Let's pray. God, we come to you because we really need you. We need a Savior. We need a Lord. We need strength. We need courage. So we come to you asking for these today and also for wisdom. So bless us this morning as we hear your word fresh from the book of James. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, God doesn't want begrudging submission. Okay, what I mean by that, begrudging submission. Well, if you've ever been asked to do a chore that you didn't want to do, and you are still grumpy about it, that's what I'm talking about. One of my friends, I was in a Bible study in Amarillo for about a year with these guys. We'd meet at lunch on Tuesdays, and there was five or six of us that would come, and one of them, my friend's name is Dave. He was one of the most open, honest, straight out guy I've ever met. One day he comes in, and it's at lunch, and he comes in and he's all flustered and his face is red and he's just huffing and puffing. "What's up, Dave?" He says, "Ah," kind of like that. And he says, "I saw these two guys. They're out on the corner and they were asking for money. And, I drove right by them and I started feeling bad. So I turned back around, went around the block. I wadded up some dollar bills and threw it out the window at him and said, 'I hope you choke on it.'" That is begrudging submission. It's not what God's looking for. You know, sometimes you think you're doing the right thing. You're overcoming temptation. It's not really what God's talking about trying to get done. So remember, James 1:4, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. God's goal, even in all the trials, not temptation, but all the trouble that just boom, 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 comes our way. And things that not any way our fault. Just what Kevin mentioned in his offering prayer, just bad things happen. God wants us to grow through those. And sometimes it is our own mistake. Sometimes it is our own fault. God wants us to grow through that. So we're changed. We're transformed. What he wants is mature, complete, lacking nothing. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to be that kind of person. But, you know, to do that, we need transformation. And one of the things we need transformed the most is our desires. Because you know what? We want what we want. Or do we? Okay. James 1:13, it says, when tempted. You notice it doesn't say if you're tempted. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted probably every day, but you're going to be tempted. And what James says here, it's not from God. This God didn't send you this temptation. And what he says, James says, what's tempting you is your own evil desires. Okay, you got desires. Evil desires. He doesn't even say anything about Satan here. You know, back in the 70s, there was this comedian named Flip Wilson. I don't know if y'all are all old. No, not all of you. Now that I look around the room, we've got some new young folks here, so glad you're here. But Flip Wilson, and what would he say? Yeah, y'all know him. The devil made me do it. And what he's escaping is responsibility. James says nothing about Satan. Now, Satan's involved, but he's not talking about Satan. He's talking about you and me and our evil desires. And here's the thing, the evil desire, number one, kind of the groundwork for all the rest of them is, and this is a question I'm asking myself today, and then I want you to ask yourself today, are you selfish? No, we want to say no, but we are. Can we get to a point where we are selfless? That's what God wants for you. God doesn't want you to stay the same selfish person you've been and you are. God wants you to be transformed. He wants you to be complete, lacking nothing. That means he doesn't want you to be selfish anymore. So next week when I ask the question, are you selfish? I want you to say no. Well, do you believe God can change you?
Yes.
Okay then, change. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not that easy, but really, roadblocks we have to becoming who God wants us to be is that we think we can't do it. I'm selfish. I'm always going to be selfish. I'm a human. Humans are always selfish. No, they're not, because God can change you. God can change you. He can change you right at the root of your problem, which is your and my evil desires. That's what this is about today. Now then, one thing about temptation, it's not sin. Temptation itself is not sin. In Hebrews 4, it says that Jesus was tempted in every way, like we are. But he did not sin. He's our example. I mean, it's not a given that you're going to sin today. God is changing you to be like Jesus. Sin every day is not the quality of a follower of Jesus. He empowers you to overcome sin. Tempted, yes. Sin, no. Tempted, yes. Sin, no. Man, if you're thinking, oh, wow. Yeah, this could change your life for real. Glad you showed up today, huh? Yeah, we found out, you know. Well, I was going to say homogenized milk, but that doesn't mean anything to most people. Yeah. We're going to find something. This is good today. Good news. Jesus calls us to follow him. Remember, he come by the disciples. They're fishing. Follow me. He comes by a guy sitting under a tree. Nathaniel, follow me. He comes by a tax collector. Yeah, follow me. He's calling these people to follow him. What does that mean? He's calling you. Follow me. That means do life his way. He's got a way he wants to show you. His way. He wants to show you his way. So we're going to do life his way. And what it comes down to is self-sacrificing, not selfish, self-sacrificing obedience. This is what John 14 says. I know you're going to love me. He says, you love Jesus? Who loves Jesus? Me and Bradley. We love Jesus. Well, you know, he says, I know when you love me. You know how I know? Because you do what I say. I obey. You obey. John 14. He says, if you love me, you'll obey what I say. John 14. And you know, this is the thing. Have you ever done this before where you have been asked to do? I can remember this is the way it was with me in mowing the grass. I hated mowing the grass. And I hated it because my dad told me to do it. I don't even remember Dad ever mowing the grass. I think I was mowing the grass when I was 6 months old. I can't remember. But there came a point where doing what Dad wanted me to do was not begrudging submission. I loved Dad. I wanted to do what he wanted me to do before he even asked me. I'm trying to anticipate what he might ask so I could do it ahead of time. Maybe some of you are like that with your spouses. You think, I wonder what she wants to do. I'm going to try that. Because, you know, it's love. It's self-sacrificing obedience, but it's love. And this is what Jesus is calling us to do. And when you find it, when that becomes that, then mowing the grass becomes joy. Self-sacrificing obedience becomes joy because you're doing it because you love. Okay, this is good. Seriously, I'm preaching to me here now. Okay. You know, if anybody doesn't show up next week, I'm good. I'm preaching to me even now. So here we go. So there's this path in James. There's this path from temptation to sin. And it has steps, sometimes one big step, but sometimes a lot of little steps. And this is what he says, it's born, temptation is born out of our evil desires, and then it grows, and then finally it's full grown, and it's sin. Temptation, this example would be David when he's end up murdering Uriah. He didn't start out, you know what, I think I'm going to murder one of my friends today. No, he was standing looking over the balcony, and he sees someone, a woman taking a bath, and she's beautiful, it says. Now then, right off the bat, that is temptation. Got it? Temptation. Sin? No. Well, it might have depended how long did he look. Yeah. You know, that could be a thing. But then he sends his guy down to get her. He said, go get her, bring her up. And the guy says, she's Uriah's wife. He says, I don't care, bring her anyway. Well, then she gets pregnant, and he said, now I'm going to have to kill Uriah. You see, this sin took one step, then the next step, the next step, the next step. And you know what this is the way it is. You've experienced this before. So it has a lot of steps, and you can butt in anytime and say, stop. But overcoming temptation is more about this. It's more about refocusing and transforming our desires. It's not just willpower. Just say no really doesn't cut it. I mean, it's not a bad thing to do. But there's more to it than that. Because Satan is coming at you at the level of your desire, what you really want to do. And when you really want to do it, willpower is going to get overcome by desire most of the time. So what about this refocusing? Psalm 37 says, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, this is talking about a heart that's been changed because I'm delighting in the Lord. You know, if what I want, if my desire is like, for instance, to praise God, God is going to give me the desire of that heart, of that, and I'll delight in it. If I delight in serving other people, okay, God is going to bless me, and I'm going to delight in serving other people because my desire. Here's a maybe a better example. Here's Jesus in the garden. He says, not my will. He's praying right before he's going to be taken prisoner and then crucified. Not my will, but your will be done. He's refocusing his desire. His desire is his will, but he's refocusing his desire. Now, think about this. Do you think that might have his willingness, his ability to do that at that moment would have something to do with this other prayer he'd been saying for years? Remember the prayer? He said, hey, when you pray, pray like this. His disciples said, they asked him in Luke, said, how do I pray? And he said this. And then the other was in the Sermon on the Mount, same thing. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here he is in the garden saying, your will be done on earth. Not my will. He's refocusing his desire. His desire is more to do his Father's will than his own. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the prayer that I've become a daily prayer for me. I've written it on the garage wall. Mary Beth said, okay, before I did that. So I pray this often through the day. Increase my passion for things that matter most to you. I'm asking God, increase my passion. I want to be passionate about things that are important to God. This is changing my desire. And then God, what's happening, he's changing my desires. And he does this through his Holy Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We'll come to that in just a second. But our desires determine our actions and our lifestyle. Remember, this is about the lifestyle of the saved. We're saved. James is writing to the saved, and he's telling them, this is the lifestyle I want you to live. You know, there's many temptations that have no appeal to me. Have you seen some? There's some things that are temptations to some people. I don't got nothing for that. Now, I remember when one of my desires radically changed. I used to wake up in the morning for years and years and years. I would drink coffee till noon. At noon, I started drinking Dr. Pepper. And I drank Dr. Pepper all the way till bedtime. Then I would drink a little glass of milk. I can remember the moment when all of a sudden my taste changed and I didn't like Dr. Pepper. I can't drink Dr. Pepper now. I mean, I can drink maybe this much. And every once in a while, I think, you know what? I remember when Dr. Pepper was good. I'm going to try one today. Ooh, I don't like that. God can do that with your evil desires. Change them to where you're not tempted by that anymore. The temptation is gone because our desires are being transformed. God says, as a saved person, we're going to die to ourselves. What that means is we're going to die to these evil desires. Now, while that's happening, while that's going on, what's going to happen to us always is when one temptation is overcome, another one's coming. Jesus, in the wilderness, in Luke 4, he's tempted by Satan. And he overcomes them. 1, 2, 3. Boom, boom, boom. And then it says, the last verse of this little section of Jesus in the wilderness says, and Satan left him until a more opportune time. You think Satan's done with you? He's coming back. He'll come back in a different way and another way. One temptation is overcome. Another temptation's coming your way. Jesus the same. Tempted in every way. Tempted right up to the end of his life. He's tempted. He overcomes because he refocuses his desires and God is transforming those desires. And so suddenly what is normal for us is not something we have to do. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We're kind. Why? Not because we have to be kind, but because we've been changed by the Spirit. And suddenly we are a kind person. That's who we are. This room is full of kind people getting kinder because Jesus' Holy Spirit is working on us, and fruit is coming out from us. Okay, let's finish this up in this way. Let's read the last few verses of this section here. So here's what it says. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, get this. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. We are his fruit. He chose us. He's given us the strength to change our desires. And we are the fruit of his work. We're the fruit of his work. Again, remember, I want to say the whole book of James, this is, it would be its theme in one sentence. You're saved, act like it. You're saved, act like it. And what that means is overcoming evil desires. But you know what? We are going to sin. That is going to happen. And so I'm thinking about this event that happened in my life. It was 1993, my first year to be the head coach at ACU. And it was the summer before my first year, and I was kind of done with camps that year. I did a little bit of work with him. My son Glenn was in the ninth grade, and he had gotten out of camp on a Saturday. The rest of my family had come over to Sally's house over here, and they were having a big, I don't know, some kind of family get-together. And it was just Glenn and myself. And we're driving over in our old Subaru, our old blue Subaru, which he wrecked. Different story. But we're driving over, and we're listening to Christian music. Remember, this is 1993, so some things are just kind of getting going in Christian music on the radio. And Rich Mullins, who had written some songs that Amy Grant had sung and made popular, and he had just come out with the song Sometimes by Step. And from that, the chorus of that song is what we sing, Step by Step. And I think this is about overcoming temptation. You do it step by step by step. You become a follower of Jesus, one step following this, this, this. Jesus does that, I do that. Jesus scratches his nose, I scratch my nose. I mean, we're going to do it. Everything we see him do, we're going to try and do that. And so we're into the chorus, and we'd heard it a couple of times on the radio. And, you know, no Spotify, nothing like that. You do YouTube, you know, you're going to find out something on the radio or get a cassette tape eventually. So we're listening, and we hear a few lines of it as we're leaving Abilene and no radio. And as we're driving into the Metroplex, we hear, pick up the radio again, and we hear the chorus, the second chorus, and the second verse. And it's this, and these words hit both him and me, ninth grade son, old man dad. He said, sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. And so it just reminds us of that Genesis 12 story about looking up at the stars. And he said, God says to Abraham, this is all your descendants. That one of those is me. He, Abraham, was a stranger in this land. And I am that no less than he. Man, sometimes our world is so warped. And we feel like strangers. If we're Jesus followers. Because yeah, Jesus' way is not the way of our world. He was a stranger. And then this is it. Sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, but never beyond his reach. We're saved by the grace of God. So what James is saying, act like it. Act like it. God saved you. Act like it. And it begins with letting God transform your desires. He will change your desires. No more Dr. Pepper. Well, maybe Dr. Pepper's okay, but there's other things. He'll change your desires. And once your desires are changed, then we become like Christ. That's my goal. That's where I want to focus on that and trust that God's Holy Spirit, if I focus on following Christ, His Spirit will transform my desires. We're going to sing, and there'll be a closing word.